There is a custom in various universities to invite retiring professors to deliver a final address. This is a kind of summing up, a last will and testament of one's learning over a career. One teacher in such setting quoted Thoreau, "Simplify, simplify, simplify," and then he sat down. And another quoted from Winston Churchill, "Never give up, never give up, never give up," and then he sat down. You can't beat those two speeches for brevity. And it reminds me of my homiletics professor in seminary who used to say to us, "Be up, be brief, and be seated." I try to remember that. Now, the elder John, the traditional author of the fourth gospel, was said to have lived in Ephesus in western Turkey. And whenever he was asked to speak, he gave the same last address, if you will. According to tradition, he said only this, "My little children, love one another." This brief address was a reminder that the fruit of the gospel among Jesus' followers is quite simply mutual love. John, earlier in his life, had written what many call the gospel of love, because two Greek words for love, agape and phileia, are used 43 times in this gospel. Love thus becomes the golden thread that hangs this whole gospel together. So to read this gospel is to be immersed in God's love for us. Here's a sampling of some of its most memorable moments. "God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life. Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end. If you love me, keep my commandments. He who loves will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down one's life for one's friends." Only John reports his unique love for his friends and his followers. We are told of a mysterious, beloved disciple who many think was John himself. But this was the one who reclined near to Jesus at the Last Supper. This was the beloved disciple who ran with Peter to the empty tomb. The beloved disciple who stood with Mary before the cross and was entrusted to care for Mary. The beloved disciple who recognized Jesus, the risen Christ, as he sat in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. Only John tells us of this disciple whom Jesus especially loved. And only John tells us that Jesus loved Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. In fact, Jesus loved them so much that when he saw the entire community of Bethany weeping for Lazarus, then Jesus himself wept. And when the people saw his tears, they said, "Behold, how he loved Lazarus." Only John tells us that when the risen Christ challenged Peter, he asked them this question three times. "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you really love me?" It's a question that Jesus still asks me and asks you. Do you love me? So during his farewell address at the Last Supper, Jesus concentrates on two themes: his imminent departure from this earth and his new commandment that his followers are to love one another. Those two themes are interrelated. Once Jesus leaves, he will leave behind his Spirit, whom he calls the Paraclete. This spiritual presence of Christ will be evident whenever love is present. This spiritual presence means that when the disciples love one another, that Christ is alive and active in the world. So Jesus' command is absolutely critical for the life of the church, and indeed for the whole world. Only when disciples of Jesus love one another will they experience Christ's spiritual presence among them. This diverse community here and across the world is held together by only one thing: Christ's love for us. Love that transforms strangers and enemies into friends. I've been spending the weekend reading Bishop Desmond Tutu from South Africa, and he made this observation one day. He said this: when you look at someone through the eyes of love, you see a different reality from that of someone who looks at the same person without love, or with hatred, or even indifference. You're seeing a different reality. So when Christians do not see each other with eyes of love, then Christ is further obscured from the world. Our lack of love for one another makes Christ more distant in a loveless world. I think we see what our world looks like when Christ seems absent. There are wars and rumors of wars all over the world. There's hatred among political opponents, including violence, attempted assassinations, and assassinations. And there's constant hostility among different groups, especially different racial and ethnic groups. What happens when Christ is absent? Just take a look at our world. So that's why Christ's commandment, his ever new commandment, is so crucial for us. The passionate love of God for the world is spread abroad through the church, the body of Christ. Christ's love invades this world of hatred and indifference through the followers of Jesus. We become the beloved disciples, offering love, unconditional love, for a broken and fractured world. That is, when we love one another. So the most important observation that the community of Rio Rancho can make about this congregation is this: see how they love one another. In Louis Biscala's book, Love, he tells a fascinating story of visiting a great huge lake in the middle of Cambodia. Here's what he wrote: nature in Cambodia is very severe. Every year, the monsoons come and wash everything into the rivers and the streams and the lakes. So you don't build great permanent houses because nature has told you they'll be washed away. You build little huts, and sometimes tourists come there and say, aren't they quaint but poor people living in such squalor? It's not squalor. They love their little huts, which are comfortable and exactly right for their climate and culture, but they know those huts are transient. And Buscala goes on to say this: so I went to the lake at the beginning of the monsoon season. I found the people in the process of preparing for the rains. This meant they were constructing big communal rafts on which they would live together, can you believe this, for 3 months. And Biscala says, now wouldn't it be wonderful to live with neighbors for so long? I wonder. What would happen to us? We would realize again how important it is to have a neighbor. Someday I need you because you may catch the fish that we will share for dinner. Someone I can sit down with and talk to. And then after the monsoons are ended and we get off that raft, we can live together in our separate huts again as neighbors. That's an amazing description of community in the face of torrential monsoon rains. And it shows that people can survive because they join together on the same raft. And that is what John is saying to us in the gospel. We are joined together, sisters and brothers, in the body of Christ. We are in the same boat together. So we need one another, and we must love one another, because Christ loves us with a passionate love, and we call that grace. We love one another in and through and because of Christ, and we call that fellowship. Our love reaches beyond ourselves into a broken and needy world, and we call that mission and evangelism. Christ's love flows into our life together and invites the world to join us in this circle of love. How is this possible for people to live together on this boat? Because Christ's love changes everyone into a beloved disciple, a sister or brother for whom Christ died. And therefore, I can embrace my sister and brother in and through Christ. Christ's love comes to us this day in signs of broken bread and poured out cup. And we remember here that greater love has no one than this, than they lay down their life for another. Here we remember that God so loved the world. Some of you may read Chicken Soup for the Soul. There's a story in one of those books about a little girl named Lisa who was hospitalized at Stanford University with a very rare disease. And her only chance to survive was to receive a blood transfusion from her 5-year-old brother, Kevin, who was a perfect match. So the doctor asked Kevin, "Will you give your blood to your sister?" And the 5-year-old replied, "Yes, I will, if it will save my sister's life." And so as the blood is being pumped out of his arm, the little boy asked the doctor, "Will I start to die right away?" The little boy misunderstood how blood transfusions work, but he knew quite well how love works, a love willing to lay down one's life for another. "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you," so that others will see our love and say quite simply, "See how they love one another." Thanks be to God. Amen.